When I was a child, things were different in the world. Many things were different in the world. Maybe some of you can relate to this experience. I don't know. When I was a child, cars were a thing that had these kind of windows that you rolled down with a crank like this. You had to put some effort in. When I was a child, we had a TV at our house, just one, and it was color, but it only came with four stations, and there was no remote control. My father informed us that's what kids were for. And you had to watch shows only at a specific time and day that they aired on broadcast television. I recently tried explaining this to my Netflix streaming children, and they looked at me like I had an extra head growing out over here. They were so confused. When I was a child, music was on these things called records or even 8-track tapes. And they had artists like Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney and Simon and Garfunkel. When I was a child, disciple was a word that was about someone else. It was about those people 2,000 years ago who used to wander around with Jesus, not about me, not about anyone that I knew in the world today. When I was a kid, we were a family that went to church almost every week. I was a member of this church, and I believed. I believed in God. I believed in Christ and the biblical story and the creeds. I believed in salvation through faith. But I never used the word disciple or discipleship. They just weren't a part of my vocabulary. Member, yes. Attendee, sure, of course. But disciple? No, that was something different. But over the years, I grew, and as I got older, something happened. Jesus happened. Now, don't get too nervous. I'm not about to start testifying and telling you a salvation story about a magic prayer and how I found Jesus as if he'd been lost for a while. No. But Jesus happened in my life, and what I mean by that is Jesus became more real in my life. I think many of us have had this experience as we've grown up in faith when we move from being a child into adults and our faith becomes our own. You see, no longer was Jesus like a story to be believed or a concept, but a very real presence and influence in my life, an actual friend I could turn to. Jesus became, in effect, my Lord, something I'd said so many times but never really understood. All of my identity was in Christ, and I realized that every decision and every question I had ended up being taken to God and seeking the Lord's guidance and input in my life. So as I grew, descriptors that used to make sense when I was a child, things like member or a person who goes to church, while they were still true, they didn't come close to conveying the reality of what being a Christian meant to me. So I began to discover other words that I had heard but didn't really understand before, words that resonated with my experience, words like follower, words like disciple. Yes, these words, these seem to get much more close to what I'm about. And I think this is an important distinction to make because being a member is something that anyone can do. You don't have to be a disciple per se. Even attending church regularly, if that's all a person does and that's all there is to it, it doesn't necessarily mean that a person is a disciple or a follower of Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. We want members. We want people to attend worship. Don't mishear me and leave here saying, well, you know, Pastor Josh said we shouldn't have members or attend worship, so no. But I think we all know that's not all that God wants for us, right? For our lives, for this church, or for the world. God's desire is that we would not just be members or attenders, but disciples, committing our whole lives and our whole selves to following our Lord Jesus. When I was a child, the word disciple was about 12 guys from 2,000 years ago who wandered around with Jesus, but now I realize that a disciple is someone who's seeking God, a person who gives their lives and their selves to God and God's mission in the world. And when I think about Good Shepherd and the people here, all of you, that's exactly what I see, disciples. And so we take this season of Lent to lean into this word, this idea, and explore it more deeply. And as we do this, we have to remember that we're all in different places, different stages on this spiritual journey of discipleship, but we're always seeking. We're all learning and growing together. And during Lent, we're going to dig deeper into some specific spiritual practices that we see consistently as the part of lives of anyone who is a disciple. In short, what do disciples actually do? that might help us in our Lenten journey as we explore them more deeply. And of course, thinking about what we do, we also recognize that God's love is full and complete, and this doing is not about earning anything, but about living into the reality of who we are in Christ, that our lives might become more and more in the shape and the pattern of Jesus. And these six marks of discipleship we'll be leaning into. Pastor Amy mentioned them on Ash Wednesday: worship, prayer, giving, serving, scripture, and community. And we know that if we're doing all of these things consistently in our lives, one cannot help but experience spiritual growth. It's just a byproduct, a natural outpouring of what happens when we do these things regularly. But if I'm only doing some of these things, or if I'm only doing them once in a while, I might find myself feeling a bit spiritually empty or lost or stagnant. So today we're going to dive in a little bit more into this idea of worship. See, when I was a child, I went to church to worship. And what I thought that meant was I would go and I would listen, because I was a curious child and because my father said I had to. I would listen to hopefully hear something and learn something that would help me be a better person in the week ahead. And then I would go home, and that was kind of all there was to it for me. But over the years, something happened. Jesus happened. Which makes me think maybe I should make a bumper sticker that says Jesus happens, but that's another sermon for another day. Now I see worship as really experiencing God, having an encounter with God, spending time in God's presence to hear a word from the Lord, so that we can then go out into the world and join God in mission, serving and loving those in need. And as I go think back on my life, I struggled for many years to define worship, both in the words I would articulate out loud and just my own understanding. And I'd ask people, well, what is worship? What does that mean, really? And I've heard a lot of different answers. I've heard some people say worship is praising God. It's about ascribing worth and honor and glory to God, showing reverence, which I think is part of it. I've also heard that it's about hearing the word proclaimed, read from Scripture, proclaimed in the sermons. And I think that's also true, but only part of the story. I've heard it said that worship is about receiving the sacrament of communion, about being remade in the image of God, reconnected to the body of Christ. Also true. All of these things are a part of it, but I think just a piece. In our text today, and as we read the Psalms, we heard in Psalm 84, talk about the joy of simply being in God's presence. And if we read through the Psalms, we hear this theme over and over again. Psalm 42 begins by saying, like a deer longs for water in the desert, so my soul thirsts for you, O God. Psalm 46 says, God, you are my refuge and my strength. And at the end, God says, be still, know that I am God. In 84, we heard today, better is one day in your courts, O God, than 1,000 days anywhere else. And as we think about all the different things that people do, all the things that happen in the context of this thing we call worship, there's so many ways this can look and ways it gets lived out. But all serve this core purpose to connect us to the divine, to have this connection, this experience, this encounter of God. We do many things that we call worship that are a part of it. We have music. We sometimes have art and other things that lift up the beauty in this world. We cultivate awe and wonder. We learn in worship. We are inspired. We taste and we receive. We even serve and we give through our offerings. We do it all in the context of community. All of these things are a part of it. But if we looked beneath the surface of it all, the common thread that flows beneath all of it, the river that flows under all these things, is that worship is to encounter God and to be changed. And some days that encounter brings healing, some days renewal, maybe sometimes guidance or peace or forgiveness or strength, sometimes conviction, depending on what's going on in life. We could go on and on. As disciples, we come together for worship over and over again to offer our praise and thanks to God so that we have this experience of encountering God, being in God's presence, to receive that word that God has for us, a word or healing or whatever it might be, so that more and more we can become disciples, become the people God created us to be, and then carry this good news out to the world, this news of love and healing and serving to everyone we meet. Amen.